As we enter into the year 2002, we look for a word from God. As the people of God, we look for a word from our God to guide us and to set before us throughout the coming year. We find such a word in Luke chapter 21, the verses 34 through 36. These words of Jesus, "And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with servitude and drunkenness, and the cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be counted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man." Our Lord Jesus Christ, in Luke chapter 21, has been speaking of the days of his return, of his second coming. And he concludes his remarks with a warning: "Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with servitude and drunkenness and the cares of this life." The word "take heed" is a present imperative and can be translated "be continually taking heed." And to what are we to take heed? Well, the Lord says, "Beware, watch out, be on the alert, be ever conscious of a danger." And what danger? Yourself. Take heed to yourself. Be constantly taking heed to the danger that is before you in yourself. We know that in the light of the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, there will be many things to watch out for. There will be many dangers that come against us: the devil and the wicked world, false teaching. But the Lord says, watch out for yourself. Watch out over your hearts. He's speaking to us, to those who have been brought by the grace of Jesus Christ into the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says to us, there is no time in your life in which you are allowed to give over to spiritual carelessness. Certainly not in the year 2002. The world in this year is not going to declare a truce in its efforts to conform you to its mold. The devil will not take a time out in his attempt to wear you down in the love of Jesus Christ and to take that love away. And your old man of sin will become more desperate to join the wicked world. The Lord greets you at the beginning of this year, 2002. He comes into your house through this message today, and he says, "My child, in this coming year I have a warning for you. You must beware, you must take heed to yourself." Now, exactly what is the specific focus of ourselves that we must watch carefully? Is it our dress or appearance or health? No, the Lord says, it's our hearts. "Lest at any time your heart be overcharged." The heart is our spiritual center. It's our spiritual center point. The Bible says, Matthew chapter 15, "Out of the heart proceed evil thoughts and murders and adulteries and fornication." And the book of Proverbs tells us, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." Beware of your spiritual center, of your heart, lest it be overcharged. And that word could be translated weighed down or burdened, that it come under a heavy weight. The Lord uses the same word in Matthew 26, verse 43, where we read, "And Jesus found them sleeping again, the three disciples who were to watch with him, for their eyes were heavy," literally overcharged, weighed down under a big burden. They couldn't keep their eyes open. An overcharged heart is a weighed down heart. It's a heart that is unresponsive to God. It's out of touch with the reality of the Lord's second coming. The heart of the child of God is looking for Jesus' coming. You cut that heart open, and in that heart you will find the prayer, "Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly." So much so that we may define a Christian as one who is waiting for Christ to come. 1 Thessalonians 1, verses 9 and 10, we read that the child of God has been turned from idols to the living God to wait for his Son from heaven. That's really the whole life of a child of God. From their heart, we are waiting for the Son of God to come from heaven. That's the fundamental perspective of the heart of the child of God. Grace makes us pilgrims and strangers with an earnest expectation, a longing for Jesus to come. That's our goal. That's what we cherish and hope for. Now the Lord says, "Beware, lest your heart become so burdened with the things and the cares of your life in 2002 that you lose touch with the reality of the coming of the Lord. Your heart, like a weary eyelid burdened with sleep, closes itself and becomes unresponsive to the great reality that is yours as a believer, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ." And the Lord speaks of two burdens, or two weights, which could weigh down our hearts in this coming year. The first is excessive indulgence with things. And the second is preoccupation with legitimate concerns. You notice that in the text that we quoted to you at the beginning of the program, the Lord speaks of things that fall into two categories. He uses the word surfeiting, lest your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting. And that word refers to the sick feeling one gets after you have overindulged yourself in legitimate food and drink. You become drowsy, you become unable to think, or a hangover, a headache, unable to function. You took in too much, and now you're sick. Then the Lord says that your hearts can be overcharged with drunkenness. That's the sin of being intoxicated. That's a terrible sin, which the Bible says is the work of the flesh. Galatians 5, verse 21, "The works of the flesh are these, envyings, murders, drunkenness, and the such like, of which I tell you, that they which do these things shall not enter into the kingdom of God." Drunkenness is the destruction to the mind of thinking, and it's the unleashing of base and foul actions and words. And then the Lord said your heart could be overcharged with the cares of this life. And he's referring to things that are necessary of themselves. So long as we are in the flesh, we need food and clothing, money and shelter, all good in themselves. But when they become out of place, they produce anxiety. And when a heart is clutched with anxiety, then that heart is not living with the reality of the Lord's coming. Now our Lord says, "I know you. I know what your life is. I know all of the dangers that will come to your heart. And therefore in the year 2002, you must beware. You must beware that your heart does not become weighed down, unresponsive under the load of two things, excessive indulgence in legitimate appetites, and excessive preoccupation with legitimate earthly concerns." Food and drink, clothes and shelter are not wrong in themselves. We know that. The answer to these things is not asceticism. That is, that we would view earthly things and pleasures as contrary to salvation, and we would think that it's spiritual to deny ourselves legitimate earthly things. Then perhaps we would say, well, marriage is beneath high standards of purity, and therefore to be celibate is holy. Or delicious food is unspiritual, and all we need to do is take in bread and water. We don't need to have spices and a dish prepared beautiful to the eye, and sprinkle over the top some delectable ingredients. That's wrong. And the Bible warns against such thinking. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 4 that we may receive all things with thanksgiving. Our Lord Jesus Christ went to a feast. Levi prepared for him a feast at his conversion. And at that feast, the Lord ate and drank. He entered into the legitimate joy and the legitimate enjoyment of the earthly things that God created. But the warning is this, that the heart can be overcharged with overindulgence that we begin to live for and suck up with a craven appetite the things of this world. That's called covetousness, gluttony, pleasure madness, to become caught up with the cares of this life and to become beside yourself, and so you are weighed down. That's a great danger. Because when you are weighed down and you're thinking only in terms of what you're going to enjoy, only in terms of the things of this present life and having enough of them and giving yourself totally in the pursuit of those things. If that's what your life is going to be in the year 2002, all of that will put you into a spiritual stupor, a spiritual drunkenness. And the Lord says, the day of my return will come upon you unawares. What are you living for? What does your heart seek? Is it seeking more of the pleasures of this life or the Lord Jesus and his return? The great danger our Lord sees for those who wait for his coming is that we will lose focus on his return and slowly, imperceptibly, by being satiated with the things and the cares of this life, give up the hope of his return, and the day would come upon us unawares. It would sneak up. As if we are dulled and insensitive, sound asleep. And this is a real danger, says the Lord. The Lord says, the final day of my return will be as a snare that shall come upon all them that dwell on the face of the earth. For the wicked it will be a snare. Now a snare is a trap for a bird or a rabbit. And what makes a good snare? Well, two things. Bait. Something delectable, and number two, the appearance of safety and the absence of threat. You want to catch a goose? Well, if you want to catch a goose, you don't spread a snare with hot coals and with sharp arrows and all the rest. No, you lay out some cracked corn and some soft straw. You make a snare. There are snares, says the Lord, and the snare is when your heart is caught up and overcharged with earthly things, and your heart is gripped with cares and worries and anxieties, and you're expecting the worst. It's a snare which gets hold of you and you can't break loose. How does Satan get men to be unaware of the impending judgment of God which is to fall upon them? Well, the same way that you would burn down a city. You would not burn down a city by alerting the soldiers at the wall, but you would come to them and assure them, the city, that all is well. You would get as close as you possibly can. You would give them everything their hearts would desire. You would say, yet, have another glass of champagne and sleep on now, and I will watch the walls of your city for you. And while they slept, you would burn the city to the ground. Now apply that to your heart and to your life. Jesus is saying covetousness, to have your heart directed upon the earthly, and anxiety, to worry to such an extent that you are beside yourself, will make you comatose to the reality of the Lord's return. The danger is that in this year, you and I then take on the perspective of the whole world. The perspective of the world is, what counts is my pleasures. What's the most important thing is that we are secured in having money and an economy and freedom That's the most important thing. Christ's coming, the end of the world, judgment, judgment of God upon sin. Oh, that's all nonsense. That's ridiculous. What we need is simply our pleasures and our securities and economy. The Lord says, now look what's going to happen to them. The day is going to catch them unaware. It's going to come upon them as the snap of a trap. They're going to be caught. Now the Lord says, beware over your heart. You see, the Lord understands how we tick. He knows our frame. He knows how we're put together. On a very practical level, He knows that. I know, for instance, that if I stuff myself with food, I can't preach on the Lord's Day and I can't pray. A full belly and warmth, I fall asleep. The kids can be playing and making a racket throughout the whole house, but I don't hear. Jesus says there's a spiritual lesson there, and you better take it to heart. He is not just warning against gluttony and drunkenness in our life as if they're the only sins for which we need to watch, but He is saying the world in our flesh is constantly saying to us, this life is satisfaction. Happiness is found in what you eat, in what you have, in how you look, and in the money you make. And if you have problems, we can take care of that. Alcohol, pills, and things. Indulgence. So that the Lord says, as in the days of Noah, they ate and they drank, they sold land and they married, they were given in marriage. They simply continued on with a grand time until at last the waters of the flood destroy them all. So the Lord says, in the last day it will be carnal indulgence and lusting, seeking to satiate the soul, which will put people in a stupor to the return of the Lord's coming. Do you hear God's word? Or are you the kind of person who hears the word of God on Sunday or throughout the week, and you put your head upon the pillow and you snore and it's all gone, you forget it all? How are we to keep the Lord's return before our eyes? Well, the Lord says, watch, therefore, and pray always. The command is watch always, be alert, and that means, of course, that we look at our life daily through the eyes of the Holy Scripture. Live your life, look at yourself, look at the world through the viewpoint of God's holy word. How are you going to remain aware of spiritual reality in a present world that sneers and ridicules these realities? How are you going to avoid the pressure of the world to mold you after its influence and to squeeze out of you the hope of Jesus? How are you going to do that? Well, you have to watch. That means you have to go to the Scriptures. You have to be men and women and children of prayer. It means, children, read your Bible. It means, parents, read the Scripture. It means attend the house of God faithfully twice on the Lord's Day, where the Word of God is taken seriously and explained in all of its beauty. Watch and pray always. Pray. True prayer. Prayer is the way whereby God keeps us alive unto the hope of Jesus Christ. That's the only way to stay in touch with reality. The reality of the unseen things? Well, you must be much in prayer if you are to hold on to those realities. Then you shall be counted worthy, says the Lord, to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. You shall be counted worthy, literally prevail. You will go through, our Lord says, you will go through by my grace all of these perils. I will keep you even unto the end. You shall prevail. We shall prevail because it is His work, but it is a work also that works within us in order that we yearn and we seek the things that are above, and we desire to escape the judgments that shall come upon this present world. We seek to run from those judgments and from those sorrows and from eternal hell, and we desire to stand before Christ in His glory. Now, are you ready to enter into this year, 2002? The Lord has opened to us in His Word for a few moments the realities that are going to confront us this year. The Lord says there shall be an unrelenting campaign to burden your heart with overindulgence of this present life so that you become in a stupor to His return. Did you hear His Word? The Lord said you must watch and pray always that you may be counted worthy to stand before the Son of Man. Let us do this Word by the grace of God, and then by God's grace this year will be fruitful to His glory. Then in this year you and I will travel toward our hope, and that hope will become more real. And we shall find that the hope of the righteous shall be gladness. It shall never make us ashamed. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word. May the Holy Spirit write it upon the fleshly tables of our heart this day and always. And may we live to the honor of Thy name in this year, and out of the hope of our Lord's certain coming. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.